Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Jeff Green from the group that is fighting this fluoride battle. And Jeff is one of the best informed people I know across America as to the toxicity of fluoride. Now, why are they putting fluoride in our water? Oh, it's for the children's teeth. We want to protect the children. But the studies in the American Dental Association say that it doesn't do any good to ingest it. It only acts locally. Well, you can't just necessarily believe one article. Well, they actually have done away with fluoridation over in Europe. Hardly any place they use it except in Northern Ireland. And why do the British use it in Northern Ireland? Well, some people believe it has an effect on the mind because the active ingredient in Prozac, if you look it up, is a fluoride compound, and fluoride acts on the mind, and where there are studies that show it produces mental defects, and it produces brittle bones, and we know from many, many studies that why you almost double the incidence of hip fractures and postmenopausal women in areas with fluoridation. You decrease levels of fertility, you produce bone cancer. Oh, there are all sorts of things that happen, but certainly one of the specific effects of water fluoridation is to attack, in my estimation, the very essence of our endocrine system. Well, we're going to get Jeff Green's views on this because there are new legislation here in Sacramento by the people up in Sacramento who basically some of the finest politicians money can buy, and they want to forcibly fluoridate every community. And even though the people of Santa Cruz, where I live, and the people of Watsonville across the county don't want the water fluoridated and have voted and said we don't want it, why are they going to force it on them? Jeff, has that bill come to up for vote yet?
Well, it has in one section of the legislation. Stan, what's happened is that it's passed this is what they call a gut and amend type of a bill, in which, in order to even be able to have this being heard right this minute, they took an inactive bill that had been discarded earlier, and at the very last minute, because I think Monday is the last day that any legislation can take place that's able to go on to the governor. What they did basically is they took a bill and gutted it, meaning that they got rid of every bit of it, they crossed it all out, and then put in their brand new bill the way they would like to do it, and basically stated that it was such an emergency situation because of the fact that they had to clear up some things, that instead what they did is they got waivers so that instead of having 30 days for the normal public viewing of the bill and people to be able to respond, instead, they took literally a couple of days, never told anybody which room it was going to be in, which committee was going to be in. It changed a couple times. And ultimately, what it came down to is that they passed it through the assembly floor, which is the same thing as the House of Representatives in some other states. And now it's gone on to the Senate, and it looks like they're doing almost exactly the same thing, where it's kind of hide and seek. Nobody is willing to tell anybody where it's going to go.
And I think this is really stealth legislation. They're poisoning the American people, and they're going to be poisoning the people here in California. People said, oh, that can't be. That's just scare tactics. You probably believe in black helicopters. Ladies and gentlemen, there really are black helicopters, and there really are people who have a different worldview. And of course, they're unconcerned about the health hazards and the real damage to the health of the American people. We're going to be back in just a moment with Jeff Green. I think you're going to find this a fascinating program. But don't even think about changing that dial. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And the story today is there is a plan to poison you and your children and the entire state of California. Of course, they're doing this all across the country by fluoridating our drinking water. The EPA scientists have said that this is terrible, that this is criminal, right? I'll let Jeff tell you what the EPA scientists say, but I know that they have been totally against this. But because the other side controls the media and has been able to influence the American Dental Society and local dental society, the California Medical Association, why their doctors and the dentists, without knowing anything at all about this science, are pushing for compulsory water fluoridation, when even the American Dental Association will admit that it doesn't do a bit of good to ingest the fluoridated water. It's simply local activity where it's beneficial, and there's legislation, stealth legislation, in Sacramento today, right today, where they're trying to jam this through before Monday so there can be no organized opposition, and it won't matter how the people in Santa Cruz, where I live, or in Watsonville, where we have listeners this afternoon, have voted. Because the fascists really don't care. They have an agenda, and they're going to poison you and your children. So with that as a background, Jeff, tell us, really, what's wrong with water fluoridation? Isn't it good to have children without any cavities in their teeth?
Well, you know, it's a big, long list, and unfortunately it covers so many areas that some people who normally hear about it, they wonder how it could possibly ever be. How could that many people, say, be saying yes to it, when in fact there are so many reasons why it's harmful. Probably starting from the first part of it, obviously, is that there's not any way to control dosage when you add something to the water. It wouldn't make any difference what it is. We all drink various amounts of water, and the fact that they've chosen some arbitrary amount that they want to put in the water in order to medicate us should tell us something right from the very beginning. But even if you go beyond that, if I were to try to suggest to someone that they should be adding aloe vera to the water because it would be good for digestion, or possibly the people could use it as running across cuts on their fingers or so forth, there would still be some criteria or test to figure out whether that's true or not. This particular case, what's happened is that the fluoridation process has always been about basically talking about children's teeth, and you're either for it or against it, having good children's teeth, having good dental health. And that's where most of the media is focused. But without ever focusing on what's actually happening when you place something in the water.
But, Jeff, does it really help the children's teeth with the fluoridated areas? Do you get better teeth in fluoridated areas? Are there any scientific studies to show that this really does cut down on the incidence of cavities?
Well, the truth is they did have studies that showed that it did.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought for just a minute. Our guest is Jeff Green, and I asked him the question, are there any studies to show that fluoridating water really cuts down on the number of cavities? So Jeff was going to answer that question.
Well, there are studies that say that, but all the studies, they didn't even figure out whether people drank the water and how much fluoride they got from other sources. And more importantly, these are what they call epidemiological studies, big long names for some people, but epidemiological studies are studies on humans, and by nature of that, we don't get to put people in a cage and isolate them so we can see all of the different factors. So instead what they do is they look at what they do with animals, and they've been able to show that with animals that there isn't any difference in tooth decay. However, what just recently happened in the year 2000, the cover story of the Journal of the American Dental Association finally came out and clarified that ingested fluoride, meaning swallowing the fluoride, which is the original purpose of putting in the water so that we can ingest it, was all based on the assumption that we were going to incorporate the fluoride in the enamel of our teeth, and it would be much harder, and that it would be resistant to what they call acid dissolution, which is the decay process. It's an acid that comes from the metabolizing bacteria eating up fermentable carbohydrates. So what happened is that the assumption has always been that whether you're for or against fluoride, that supposedly it was making our teeth harder and making them more resistant to tooth decay. What happened is that instead they looked at it from a physiological standpoint. They actually took a tooth that, typically a child's tooth that they were going to be using for, that they were taking out because of orthodontics, perfectly good tooth. They actually measured the amount of fluoride that's in the enamel of the tooth. They put it in a cup of something that would start demineralizing the tooth, just like it does in our mouth, which basically typically is Coca-Cola. Stick it in there, measure it for a period of time, and when they pull it back out, they determined that it doesn't make any difference how much fluoride you have in the enamel of the tooth. it is no more resistant to acid dissolution, that when we swallow it, it plays no large part at all. And the Center for Disease Control, they came out with about a 50-page report that told everybody in the United States, hey, this is one of the greatest 10 things in the century that's ever happened. But right there on page 3 and on page 4, they first of all say that there is no correlation between the amount of fluoride we ingest and whether we have tooth decay or not. And then second of all, there's not even enough fluoride in the saliva that we get glandularly, meaning, you know, coming up because we swallowed it and it comes up in our saliva in our mouth, that there's not even enough fluoride in that to have any effect on whether or not we have tooth decay either. So the very reason why they're putting it in the water from the very first place has now been shown that it doesn't work when we swallow it.
But, of course, we put it in toothpaste, and the reason they put it in toothpaste is such a strong poison. It really poisons all the bacteria, and isn't that why the fluoridated toothpaste works? Because it kills the bacteria there, and you don't get so many cavities?
Right. It kills the bacteria topically, and what's interesting is that the proponents of fluoridation have now tried to say, well, gee, let's keep it in the water, because topically, meaning that it'll run past the surface of our teeth while we're drinking, while we're swallowing water, that'll be great for us. But of course, no fluoridated toothpaste has ever been approved that hasn't had like 1,000 to 1,500 parts per million. Where what we're talking about that they're trying to make people drink is somewhere around 1 part per million. It just doesn't work at those levels and never been approved at those levels at all.
But I think anybody who really questions if fluoride is good for you, just look at your tube of toothpaste and you'll notice that you're told if the child takes any more than necessary to brush their teeth, immediately take them to a poison center. Why? Because it's a lethal poison.
Right.
This is what you use in rat poison. So why are we putting it in our toothpaste? Well, they had to get rid of it. The manufacturers of fertilizer and aluminum and certainly other toxic products, certainly used in the nuclear industry, they use a tremendous amount of fluoride. If they were to actually put it in the ground, they would be terribly expensive. They'd have to have special aligned areas to put it in because it will actually eat through a metal container. It's so active. They have to, in fact, when they put it into a tanker now, they have to line this with a special lining so it won't eat through. They had to do something with it, and what a great idea to put it into our drinking water. They actually make money instead of having to spend a phenomenal amount of money disposing of this terribly toxic substance. But what does the fluoridated drinking water do to the individual who drinks it from a physiological point of view? What does it do to the mind? What does it do to the bones? What does it do to the fertility?
Well, the amazing part about it is that fluoride is prized because of its ability to disrupt molecular bonds, as well as create new molecular bonds, and especially to be an enzyme inhibitor. And so you mentioned a little bit earlier in the program having to do with the endocrine system. One of the amazing aspects is to realize in the 1920s or 30s that fluoride was what we call the choice for trying to slow down your thyroid. That if you had someone who had hyperthyroidism, a thyroid that was moving too rapidly, you would place them in a bathtub full of water with fluoride in it to try to slow down their thyroid. When we look around, and I'm sure you've seen this, Dr. Monteith, that you look around right now, how many people do we see that have hypothyroidism, where their thyroids are moving too slow? Now, the answer isn't just to take the fluoride away. I mean, it becomes much more complicated because there's other things that we need as well. But the problem to this is that this tremendously impacts people who have thyroid difficulties. It inhibits serotonin. You were talking earlier about Prozac. Prozac is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It means it interferes with the process that serotonin usually takes. And they claim that if you do it only temporarily, but unfortunately, fluoride is the active ingredient. That's the part that does it.
And what about the fertility? I'm sure you're acquainted with Dr. Frenney's study on fertility and the large-scale studies that showed the higher the fluoride water level, fluoride level of the water, the lower the fertility, the lower the fluoride, the higher the fertility.
Yes, exactly. And you know what's amazing about this is that it also impacts things like melatonin production. And what we found out was that the melatonin was a necessary ingredient for determining when puberty started. And so we start seeing now women who are beginning puberty at earlier and earlier ages, you know, and what we find out is that what happens is that it actually prevents more, it actually means that more melatonin is not produced. And so all those things that people read about melatonin, you see that it has that impact as well. You know, you mentioned earlier about hip fractures and bone pathologies. In California, they actually did a public health goal, which basically means is they did a risk assessment on fluoride. And when the author finally got a chance to be exposed to information that he had not had to begin with, you know, wasn't, he was basically withheld from him, that he didn't have that information in front of him. When he looked at it and saw what it had to do with bone pathology, he said, that's the adverse health effect that at some point in the future that you're going to have to deal with, because the kind of studies that they did at one point to try to refute that there was no bone pathology, that there wasn't any hip fractures happening, is they would take people above 60 years of age, and women especially above 60 years of age, they would expose them to it for a very short period of time, like 6 years, and then say, look, nothing happened. They didn't have any hip fractures. When in fact there are windows of injury, especially having to do with hip fracture, in which a woman who's going either premenopausal or through menopause, that's one of the last times that their bones remodel, meaning reform. And at that particular time, what you get, what a woman gets at that time, makes a major difference as to whether or not they're going to have healthy bones. And, of course, a lot of people are dealing with that right this minute. And what it shows is that when a woman is exposed to fluoridated water, especially during that time period, they have basically a doubling of the incidence of the risk of having hip fractures. 20 years later, but still at the same point, based on the fact that they've had this accumulation of fluoride in their bones.
And, of course, this is well known within the medical literature, but the leaders of organized medicine are telling us how important this is, and why they're doing it, I can't tell you, other than the fact that, well, if you think there are too many people in the world, it's a wonderful way to limit the fertility of women and of men as well, because this attacks their endocrine system. And it really, the studies, and anybody out there who would like to see the studies by Dr. Frenny, we have them. And he found, paid by the NIH, that the higher the fluoride level, the lower the fertility, the lower the fluoride level, the higher the fertility. So what a wonderful way, if you really believe there are too many people, to just keep them from reproducing.
Well, and there's another factor to this, Dr. Monteith, that your audience probably is recognizing, is that, you know, we get conflicting stories. And so the amazing aspect of this is that the American Dental Association, American Medical Association, of course, both of those groups have been out sponsoring and supporting and even actively, you know, projecting that everybody should be fluoridated. But the American Dental Association in 1994 came out to their own membership and said, you know what, we're getting so much fluoride out here, you're going to have to start backing off all these prescriptions that you're putting out there. That it used to be that everybody was supposed to be getting this, according to them, this 1 milligram of fluoride a day. And so they were basically supporting the fact that every doctor should be out there telling every child, every parent of a child, that they should be giving your children drops and tablets that were 1 milligram dosages. And so they were getting that in conjunction with everything else that was out there that had fluoride in it. Well, in 1994, the American Dental Association and the American Academy of Pediatrics, they came out and recognized to their own membership that the exposures to fluoride from all these other sources, forgetting about water, from all these other sources, was so high that they were telling their membership that, first of all, no child under 6 months of age should have any further fluoride because the exposures are so high. Pregnant women shouldn't be having it at all either because of the impact it has on children's teeth before they're even born. And then from 6 months to 3 years of age, a child shouldn't have any more fluoride than you'd find in 1 cup of fluoridated water. So it basically means that in a non-fluoridated community, where I happen to still live right this minute, and which is still non-fluoridated, that in those areas, a doctor cannot prescribe as much fluoride as we end up putting in as a public policy with this whole fluoridation measure. So on one hand, there's a tendency to think that all the dentists are doing this and all the physicians are doing this, but their own people are telling their membership to start backing off.
And, of course, we get your fluoride that's used, you know, as an insecticide that's sprayed onto various and sundry things. And so you get a lot of fluoride when you eat grapes or a lot of other things. It's in so many of the soft drinks that you get. You get massive doses of fluoride. But what does it do to the brain? That's the biggest thing. Do we have any studies that show what fluoridated water does to the brains of animals at various stages of development? And what about those studies over in China that shows that they begin losing 10 to 15 points of IQ? And we're going to cover all of these things when we get back. And this is really true, ladies and gentlemen. Could it be that there's people who really aren't concerned about your health? They really aren't even concerned about the teeth of the children? Could it be that there are people who have another agenda? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. They go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jeff Green, who's on the front lines of this battle all across the country. And, Jeff, what about the effects on the mind? Because, you know, this is the frightening thing. Is it possible that if animals take the fluoridated water before they give birth to their newborn animals, rats are newborn rats, or mice are newborn mice, what does this do? Don't we have some studies that show that there are profound mental changes in animals who get fluoridated water?
Well, we do, and we also have things that happened that showed what happened with man, too. It's just that most of those things have been covered up as well. For some of your listeners, they may be aware that in 1995, a woman by the name of Phyllis Mullinax, a toxicologist who was the first, had the first toxicology department in the entire United States that dealt with dental issues, she went out and began studying on laboratory animals, and the reason why her studies were so impactful was because she used computer-generated behavioral following mechanisms, monitoring mechanisms, meaning that instead of somebody subjectively saying, well, that rat doesn't look like it's very happy today, instead what happened is that they actually, you know, basically were able to identify and monitor this these laboratory animals' activities through the, you know, 24 hours a day. And what they showed was is that when a laboratory animal was exposed to fluoride during certain gestation periods, they call them a dam, the mother, that the pup, the baby, when it was born, was permanently hyperactive, meaning that the same problem that we have with children now sometimes is that they that their disposition was such that they didn't change at all. If they exposed laboratory animals that were adults at a different stage, they found out that they became what we call the rat version of couch potato, that they didn't do the normal things that rats did. They just hung out someplace. These were also studies that dovetailed with other things that we've seen. The studies that happened in China, especially because they had, you know, large segments of a population in which they knew more about what they were exposed to and not exposed to. They showed that the children that had dental fluorosis, meaning that they had the, unfortunately, the display that they had too much fluoride on the teeth, that they had lower IQs than those children who did not as a group, not as individuals, because you can't measure that exactly from what an individual would have been, but as a group, there was a major change between it. And the same thing was a significant change for those people who were exposed to higher levels of fluoride in the water than not. Another laboratory study that came out that was intended to be able to show what kind of impact that aluminum may have on the brain. In fact, they were researching what a lot of people think was whether aluminum caused Alzheimer's or not. What they found out was that when they exposed, they actually used several substances to expose the laboratory animals. And the amazing part about this was a long-term study. And most studies are not very long-term, and they don't include very many animals at all. In this particular case, the long-term study, they used aluminum fluoride at several different levels, one at like 50 parts per billion, I mean million, excuse me, and another one at 0.5 parts per million. Well, it turns out that when the fluoride and the aluminum were together, the smaller amount delivered twice the amount of aluminum to the brain. And so it isn't even just that we're having to talk about high exposure levels, but that fluoride acts as evidently a transport to put heavy metals where they don't usually go. Now, they also looked at sodium fluoride, which didn't have any aluminum at all, and they realized that these same problems that they had, which were lesions in the brain that were, laboratory animals don't get Alzheimer's, but these are the same lesions that we see in Alzheimer's, that they got even the sodium fluoride compared to the control group that didn't get any fluoride at all, that they had lesions in the brain and kidney damage. So, I mean, this is, you know, really, really important. And all of the evaluations of, or what they call risk assessments, when people look at this, they all avoid this when they're promoting fluoridation because they don't want to address the fact that says, what happens when people swallow this stuff?
And you wonder why they would be so intent upon pushing this onto the American people. Now, who's really behind this legislation in Sacramento? Somebody's really got to be organizing this. Who's responsible for overriding the will of the people locally who voted against fluoride and trying to get legislation through saying, we don't care what the people want because we're so much smarter. After all, we are the legislature.
Right. Well, you know, this comes in layers, and that's always why it's hard to figure out in some ways. The first layer is the city council, like over in Watsonville, which is real close to where you are there, or the state legislature, in which you have legislators that are making these kind of decisions, and they become extremely arrogant about the fact that they know more than you do, but they can't answer the simplest of questions like how much are people getting already, how much of the actual substance you're going to put in the water, where does this stuff come from, how much arsenic and lead and other contaminants are in there. I mean, they can't answer any of those questions, but they're certain that whatever we say is not something they want to listen to.
Will you hang on to that, Jeff? Sure. Because I think this is such an important subject. As,
sure.
But the legislature is going to do what it wants to. This is the ruling elite. But what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is harmful to your health. You need to get the facts. We have a great four tapes on water fluoridation. We have a packet we'll be glad to send you if you request it. And remember, the life you save could be that one of a loved one, or maybe even your own.
The another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, for America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, why, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of the value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, our guest this afternoon is Jeff Green. Jeff, how can people get in touch with you, get onto your website, get the documentation for what you're saying?
Well, several ways. First of all, telephone. I have an 800 number that they're welcome to call. It's 800-728-3833. 800-SAVE-TEETH for those of you who don't have a pen, 3833. I have an email and a website, both. My email, you're welcome to email me directly. It's just my name in reverse, Green Jeff, with nothing in between at all, at Cox, that's C-O-X, dot N-E-T. And we have a website where we have documents, including the documents that have to do with the congressional investigation, congressional hearing, the cover story that we talked about from the ADA, the Journal American Dental Association, a lot of documentation that shows people what shifts and changes have taken place, including what we do with lawsuits, and that's Keepers of the Well. That's K-E-E-P as in Paul, E-R-S, dash O-F, dash T-H-E, dash W-E-L-L, keepersofthewell.org, O-R-G. And, you know, I wanted to make sure that I answered you more fully, because I started talking in the last section about, you know, the people on the front line who are the legislators that make these decisions, but we can't forget that there's a bureaucratic maze that you have to run through. If you were trying to find out information about this, you could get different answers no matter who you talk to. And one of the things I would suggest is that this bureaucratic maze is possible partly because all of us don't stand up at this particular moment. The Environmental Protection Agency has encouraged industry to take hazardous waste materials and find something good to do with them. If they call it good, they get to take something out of the ground that we know can't be dumped anywhere, can't be, you know, can't even be given away.
And it's really so toxic, so terribly toxic and dangerous, And so they can put it in our drinking water?
Exactly. And so what happens is this little, if you want to call it a loophole, all of a sudden occurs where they can deliver this very same substance that they can't put in the water at any dilution, and all of a sudden it could be shipped to one of the cities on any end of the any side of the nation. It can be shipped over and then added to the water, and people are being told that you can't talk about that kind of industrial waste. You can't talk about it as if it's got arsenic and lead in it. Hey, come on, you're not supposed to talk about those things. The legislation that we're seeing in front of the state of California, we would expect to be able to see across in other states as well, in which what they're trying to do is to make it so that there's a statewide concern, meaning that they're going to say, this is so important, our legislature gets to talk about this and no one else does.
In other words, they're going to sneak this thing through. They're not going to hold any hearings. This is a stealth legislation. But who is financing? Is anybody putting up money for this?
Well, we do know that the California Dental Association is in cahoots with a number of other groups in trying to make this happen. The actual funding agent in California is the California Dental Association Foundation. It supposedly got its money from California Endowment, which was when Blue Cross went from being a non-profit to a profit organization. The IRS told them that they had to, you know, come up with the money that they didn't pay, and so they put it up in this foundation so they can go swagger into different places and say, okay, we're gonna weigh in. We're gonna make things happen the way we want them to happen. And so what's happened is, in the specific case in California here, and it's happening in Missouri though, it's happening in a number of places across the states, this supposedly charitable organization is going around saying, I'm offering you money. And the state's saying, well, they offered you money, so you're going to have to do it. But what they're offering is that I'll put up the money for the equipment if you'll promise to keep on using ratepayers and taxpayers' funds to continue to fluoridate for 10 years. And never talking about what the substance is, never making sure that the money's there so that they could get, even if you believed in fluoride, that you could get a substance that didn't have arsenic and lead and cadmium and mercury and all the rest of the stuff in it.
Yeah, but it really has all these other things as well?
Well, it does. In fact, The most people don't realize that the fight about fluoride was also happening about arsenic over the last 50 years, and most people remember reading in the newspaper how they finally came with a lower amount that they were going to, you know, allow to be placed in the water. It was at 50 parts per billion, and they're bringing it down to 10 parts per billion. But the truth of it is that they know that the level of arsenic in the water that causes cancer is 4 parts per trillion. This just came out by the California basically came to a scientific point of safety, and they said in their public health goal is, here's where it's safe, that if you can drink it with arsenic in the water at 4 parts per trillion, then you're going to only have 1 out of a million of you have cancer. However, the levels that we're seeing going in there based on the sampling that was done by the certifying agent is that there's as much arsenic in a fluoridation chemical to cause 1 in 1,000 people to have lung cancer or bladder cancer. And so even when they decided that they were going to bring the level of arsenic down, that they were going to regulate it more tightly, the question mark in the water industry is, what's that going to do to our fluoridation chemicals? Because everybody knows it's got arsenic. It's the largest contributor of the arsenic. So certainly the fluoride causes problems, and we have a hard time getting into the media other than, you know, people like yourself who take this on. But the arsenic situation is in California and many other states is that they're going to have to spend a ton of money, billions, literally billions in California, to take the arsenic out, and here they are on the other side trying to put it right back in again along with the fluoride.
Well, now, let's talk a little bit about the impact of this entire thing upon the health of our children. Do we have any scientific studies that really show that here in the United States that our children's teeth are healthier? If you have a fluoridated community and a non-fluoridated community, certainly we know the state of New York is fluoridated. So are their children's teeth better than the teeth in areas that children do not have fluoridation in the water?
No, in fact, the largest study in the United States that's ever been done was on children's dental health. Was covered 84 cities and 39,000 children, and what it showed was that there was no difference between the tooth decay rates. But I have to come back to something, Dr. Monteith, that we have to always worry about when this subject comes up. What happens is people talk about studies as if they know what they're talking about, when in fact, none of the studies, in fact, we have a lawsuit in which we asked the experts that were brought in to talk about the benefit of fluoride. It came from the Department of Health Services in California, and we asked them some pretty simple questions. One, how did you ever evaluate in any of these studies that you relied upon that say that it's effective? Did any of those studies evaluate how much water the person drank? And the answer was, no, I don't even think that's important. The second part was, well, did you ever evaluate whether they drank tap water as opposed to bottled water? No. Well, did you evaluate how much fluoride people were getting from other sources like Coca-Cola and Minute Maid orange juice and lettuce and tomatoes if they're not eating organic, you know, from these pesticide residues, cereals, lunch meats, all these things that have fluoride in them? Did you evaluate that? Well, no. Well, I mean, so what's happening is here they supposedly have studies in which the point of the study was to isolate, supposedly, what the impact of fluoride was, and they never even determined whether it was non-fluoridated or fluoridated, how much fluoride they were getting, and whether they even drank the water. I mean, it's really a farce. There's not anyone who looks at this honestly and looks at the studies that can say, this says that fluoride's good for you at all. And that's ultimately what the Journal of American Dental Association and the CDC story that I described earlier was about. It's saying that it doesn't work when you swallow it.
Well, now, the important thing is, what did the Environmental Protection Agency scientists say? It's my understanding that they actually, at least some of them, were totally against the fluoridation of water, and of course, their voice was never heard. What's the story there?
Well, first of all, we need to make sure we realize that there is both an administration as well as the scientists that actually do the work. The job for the scientist, and when I say scientist, I'm talking about all the professionals, including the attorneys and engineers and toxicologists, biologists, chemists, physicians, all of these individuals who play a role, especially in EPA headquarters in Washington, D.C., these are the people that go out and they do the risk assessments, they do the work that figures out what the science says. And they're real clear about the fact that that's their part of the job. And then once that information is there, they send it on to the administration, and then the administration has a right. The Environmental Protection Agency has a right to set public policy. What's happened, though, instead is that instead of them taking the information that they've given them, they've distorted the information and said that the science says something completely different than these scientists put out, and then they make public policy saying, well, look at here, the science says this. So the union that represents all of the scientists at EPA headquarters, this is the Environmental Protection Agency at Washington, D.C., that represents all of them, came out, in fact, they became our sponsor here in California in 1997, and they came out with a very clear statement that says that we've looked at all the studies, and the science says that fluoride at 1 part per million in the water does cause bone pathologies. It does cause adverse dental effects like dental fluorosis. It does cause immune system responses problems and endocrine problems and so forth. And they go through a whole litany of situations of what fluoride does, and what they're saying is, we've looked at the science, here's what it says. Our problem is that the political part of the Environmental Protection Agency is going out there and telling everybody it's all great. So they're in completely different, coming from completely different places on this. And
how can we find out? How can we get the documentation on what you said?
Well, in fact, what they can do is they can go to that keepersofthewell.org, where we actually have the actual statement by the vice president representing the union of EPA scientists in front of Congress, in front of the Senate, a Senate subcommittee, back in the year 2000.
All right, and I think it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you do the work, because if we're not telling you the truth, you got nothing to worry about. If we're telling you the truth, they're going to poison your children. I mean, this is straightforward out. You know, the active ingredient in so much of the rat poison is fluoride. Sodium fluoride. Let's go to Fred in Salinas. Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Stan. I was wanted to ask your guest, reading the PDI real close, I was wondering why so many of the anti-anxiety, depression
medications, right?
Medications are fluoride-based drugs.
Well, they're called psychotropic kind of drugs as a general classification, and they certainly do fit not only Prozac, but even Fen-Phen that was before and so forth, and it's because of the fact that the fluoride is an enzyme inhibitor. In some cases, that enzyme inhibition is intended to affect the body in a very specific way. In other cases, it's in these pharmaceuticals in order to slow down a process so that a part of the other part of the drug can be active and can accomplish something. It's really amazing. All the information's got to be here in the pharmaceutical industry, but they're not peeping they're not putting a word out about this stuff.
I see that Prozac has just been just today in the newspaper. They've been Elliot Spencer in New York has filed a lawsuit, and GlaxoSmithKline and all the rest of them have to start publishing on websites the effects of their drugs. So.
And remember, the active ingredient in Prozac is the fluoride compound, and they're putting it under water, and then we wonder why so many of our kids are having problems.
Well, you know, another reference point for everybody else is to know that sarin gas, that's the only toxic element, is the fluoride in that. You know, the one that they used in the terrorist attacks on the right. Japanese trains over there and what they talk about over in Iraq. If you go to another place, though, is that if you look at houses that you go past, when they start to tent the houses so that they can get rid of termites, you know, they used another product before, but now it's basically sulfural fluoride. They also use that to fumigate things like walnuts and other things that they put in big warehouses. I mean, this is something that's being used to kill things purposely, and it doesn't kill things by frying them. In other words, it's not one of these things where it gets touched and, you know, all of a sudden falls over. It's an enzymatic process where, in essence, what it does is it either interferes with the reproductive process, like Dr. Mantique was talking about earlier, in some cases, or in the other cases, what it's doing is it's actually interfering with its breathing or its heart. I mean, it's interfering with the enzymatic and the full development process of you know, of things we're trying to get rid of, but that shouldn't be us.
And, Chris, remember, just go in and look at your fluoridated toothpaste, as I did, you know, and it says, you know, if they take any more than just a little tiny bit of this needed for...
Poison protection.
Poison protection. Thanks so much, Fred. Let's go to Nathan. Hi, Nathan. Quick question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. As I understand, the government wants to change rules as far as logging and extraction in national forests.
Now, wait a minute, we're talking about fluoride.
Well, no, it interlocks because, as I understand, then chemicals will get into our rivers. Do you see this as part of the scenario that we're talking about here of, I don't want to say plan necessarily because that's too paranoid, but at least negligence about the purity of God's earth and God's air and God's water and ultimately God's laws.
Well, I would answer it this way because I think that there's things that I know about and other things that I'm not as certain about. What I do know is this, is that fluoride is used for so many purposes that industries that you would normally think are just, I mean, the people just like us, why aren't these other industries jumping up? Because they're using the fluoride. What you find out is that fluoride, because it's the most negatively charged element in the world, has some tremendous importance to so many different industries that no one industry wants to go under the laser-like view of somebody who wants to get, you know, stop them from doing something. So in essence, we've got, you know, first of all, fluoride's used for actually cracking petroleum products and refining almost every heavy metal. You'll start finding that it's in printing processes and in wood processing and so forth. I mean, it's in lots of different things to the degree that there really aren't very many industries that would ever have the guts to come out opposed to this being added to water because in some ways they may be contributing to it.
Do the majority of dentists want this? I've never understood that.
Well, the tendency is to think that's true. First of all, I would say to you that just because I've been a management consultant for dentists for almost 30 years now, that the average dentist has been exposed to this issue through dental school, which is controlled by the American Dental Association, and basically they have to be taught when you go to dental school that fluoride is a positive aspect, and it's actually what they call a philanthropic action that a dentist takes on. So that that a dentist gets out of school thinks that basically that if you're attacking fluoridation, you're basically attacking their whole training. And so very many dentists, I had more than 400 clients that were dentists, and their first reaction, despite our really positive relationship, was, well, who's been talking to you? And what's happened is that it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction on their part without looking, without doing the due diligence. And, you know, they've done a great job in school of indoctrinating. That's what happens there, and that's what they've done.
Okay, we're going to have to run, Nathan. Let's go to John in St. Gabriel. Hi, John.
Hi. I still have trouble understanding how there can be the motivation to promote these uses to get this political process maintained. I mean, is this merely to avoid recognizing that these are dangerous wastes? But even then, if they are, they still could be isolated in some disposal process. Well, how does this momentum to continue to promote its use maintain? What's the force behind that?
Well, yeah, I think that I would suggest that there's something that's even really good reading right now, and if you haven't been exposed to it, it's called The Fluoride Deception. It's written by Chris Bryson, Bryson. Fluoride Deception. It's available on all kinds of things, including Amazon.com and so forth. This particular book talks about the whole process and how they've avoided the general media and the general public from understanding the situation. there are certainly some people who are just ignorant because they are not willing to take a look. And I don't mean that as ignorant, meaning they're not intelligent people, but they're not willing to take a look. And I think that the campaign to fluoridate has worked real well against those individuals. So that we have people coming out and crying and telling us how important it is for children's teeth, but never once asking the question, well, did you really want to put an untested, unapproved product with contaminants in the water? And they say, well, I don't care. You know, I mean, so there's something that's been twisting that person in that kind of an individual sense. On the other hand, there are other groups of people who basically, I think that they do know what's going on. And, you know, the truth is that it fits some agenda for themselves. And, you know, it's kind of like the persons who were, in the panel in front of Congress saying that there was no connection between smoking and lung cancer. And you find out afterwards, the memo said they knew it all along.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us, Jeff. Thanks for calling, John.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians.
They still
believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me mention that Radio Liberty does carry Big Berkey and Berkey Light water filters. And, of course, if you live in California, you can't get a Big Berkey, but you can get a Berkey Light, and they will take out the fluoride from your drinking water. If they're going to force this on us, don't drink it. If you love your kids, if you love your family, why, you need some means of getting it out, and I don't know a better way than the Big Berkey. Now, if you get the Berkey Light, why, if you have to get special pulse filters designed to take the fluoride out, they have to be repaced every 6 months, but they work, and I don't know any more efficient means. It'll take out 95% to 99% of the fluoride and the drinking water, along with the arsenic and the lead, and all the other things they're putting in there to poison you. The Berkey Light in California costs you $199 plus shipping, and of course the post filters replaced every 6 months at $45, $48. Across the nation, why, you can get the Big Berkey. That's $279. You have to get four post filters. They cost twice as much. So I recommended that people, if they're going to be getting the post filters, probably want to get the Berkey Light, even though they have to replace the Big Berkey filters every couple of years. Dollar for dollar, they're probably going to come out ahead. So let me just comment that do not allow your children to drink fluoridated water. And if you don't really believe this, you need to get our 4-tape set on water fluoridation. It has excellent material. We have an excellent packet that we'll send out for that. In fact, we're going to have to get Chris Bryson's book, The Fluoride Deception. And, of course, what this was really all about, they had lawyers, and, of course, they were defending the lawsuits. And what they could say to the juries was, you don't really think that they'd be putting this in your water. It is really harmful. Why, how can you possibly sue this industry just because they contaminated everybody and poisoned them? Do you honestly think that it'd be any damage? They would put this into your water if it was dangerous? And the answer is, yes, they would. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Jeff Green. And let me just remind you, Radio Liberty does have a 4-tape set on water fluoridation, and if you ask for it, we'll send you a packet of information on water fluoridation, and we're really going to do some updates on this as well, because it's so important you have this. They're poisoning us with mercury, they're poisoning us with aspartame, they're poisoning us with certain of our vaccines, they've unleashed new diseases on the American people. Where do you think AIDS came from? Where do you think Ebola came from? Why did Lyme disease suddenly occur just across the straits from Plum Island, where the government was doing all sorts of experiments? Where did mycoplasma come from? Where did the Gulf War illness come from? Where did chronic foot disease and chronic fatigue syndrome come from? There's so many things that the fibromyalgia, we never saw these things until recently, and there's a reason for it. Well, let me suggest you start off with a 4-tape set on water fluoridation, and of course we have 4-tape sets on why do we still have cancer. One of my favorites is the New Order of the Barbarians, and of course it covers a talk that was given by Dr. Richard Day, who is medical director of Planned Parenthood. And back in 1969, he explained it all. Why there are too many people in the world. They're going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer and the new diseases that we are going to create. If you haven't ever heard the 4-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, and you can get a transcript of this with it so you can go over the points point by point. This is one of the most devastating things that we have, and let me suggest that you seriously consider getting the 4-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians. It will help you to understand the question, why would people do things like this? Why would they spend so much money to convince the leaders of organized medicine, the leaders of organized dentistry, and all these legislators that this is good when it is bad, and it's going to attack the brains and going to produce mental damage and attention deficit disorder and put children into puberty ahead of time and attack their immune system and cause women to get fractured, postmenopausal women to get fractured hips, and some of them will die of this? And well, because there are evil people in the world, ladies and gentlemen. That's the very logical answer. And you can get all of the things we've talked about by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But let me suggest maybe you will want to get along with that. The videos we're carrying, either the 4 or the 10-hour versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Now, this simply deals with the music industry, but it's the same music that's being played in so many of our churches today. One of the major churches in my community is putting on a rock concert. Ladies and gentlemen, rock music has a physiological and emotional impact on our children. Are we going to bring people into the church by playing what I believe is the devil's music? And if you doubt that this is the devil's music, I suggest the book Fallen Angel by Tom Friend, which we carry. I suggest the videos, and I promise you, if you watch the 4-hour or the 10-hour versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, you will never look at the world through quite the same eyes again, because you'll recognize the reality of evil, and there really is evil in the world today. And how do you explain all the wars of the last century? Not only the wars, but prolonging those wars unnecessarily. And if you have never seen that article from the Chicago Tribune, the 15th of August, 1945, I'd like to send it to you free of charge, where they talk about how the Japanese have been trying for 6 months to surrender, and shucks, we just wouldn't let them surrender. We wouldn't let them surrender. And the invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa and the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were unnecessary. If you'd like that article, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like the article that quotes Jacques Cousteau from an interview we gave from the UNESCO Courier in November of 1991 talking about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. How could he say that and never be mentioned by the media? Why, of course, in a month he'd kill far more than Adolf Hitler killed. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got real problems. Pray for America, pray for revival, and pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection.